Good morning, church. Welcome to another Sunday service here from the north of Scotland with Murray Grace Fellowship. We are still online. There are new regs coming into place very soon. That means we may be able to meet together. But until then, we are still online and live every Sunday. We also have services, communion services and Bible studies during the week. If you'd like to see when they are on, click onto our website and you'll be able to see the details there. But this morning, we're here for our Sunday service. It is so good to have you with us. It's a real privilege to be able to come into your homes and speak to you through this medium. We are blessed in these days to have this kind of technology. Yes, sometimes it's used for evil, but we can use it for good this morning. Amen. So it's so good to see so many of you joining us. Welcome wherever you are. I gave a special welcome last week to those people who may live locally to our hall. So if you're joining again from Longbride or Urquhart, you're very welcome. Also welcome from across Murray. I know we have people all over the county, people from Scotland, England. I know we have listeners in India. Welcome if you're joining us from India. And we also have regulars in other parts of the world. So just say a welcome to Thomas and Amy from Florida. If you're listening today, it is really good to have you with us. I do hope you're coping okay with my accent. So good to have you this morning. We're going to have our usual, normal Sunday service. We'll have the word. We will receive an offering and we'll take communion together. And I will also, towards the end, maybe speak a little bit about my plans for services going forward. So, exciting times. So, join with me to start. I'm going to read a psalm. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Hallelujah. You know, friends, there's nothing superfluous in the Bible. All the words are there for a purpose. And there's one word there that jumps out at me, and that's all. Forget not all his benefits. Why does the Lord say that? Well, you know, sometimes I think we do forget some of them, and then he lists some. So we sometimes forget that he's dealt with all our sins. We sometimes forget that he's healed all our diseases. We sometimes forget that he can satisfy us with abundance and prosperity. So this morning, I want us to remember all his blessings. I want us to thank him for all his blessings. And remember that he is a good, good God and a good, good Father, and he wants the best for us. So let's pray and start our service this morning. Father, I thank you that we are here this morning. We are gathering together. We may be alone in our homes or just there with our families, but we are gathering together as a church this morning, coming together around your word, coming together to sow into your kingdom, coming together to take communion, to focus on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we're here. Thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you that this meeting, this get-together, will indeed be a blessing to every single one of us. I thank you, Father, that you are here, that you are with us, of your presence wherever we are. Thank you that wherever we are, you are. So thank you that you're with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. So, it's great to see quite a few of you joining us. Our numbers are creeping up. Thank you for some of the comments that are coming in. That's great. Good morning, everyone. Michelle, Corrine, Evelyn, Michael. Mrs. Lal on the run. You're very welcome. So, it's great to see you all this morning. Let's start my gathering round the word. Let's focus on the scripture. It's the understanding of scripture, the renewing of our mind through scripture that will have deep and permanent impact on our lives. And that's why we study the word. That's why we preach the word. And I'm going to pray for understanding before we start so that the seeds we're about to plant will not be stolen. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you that we can gather around your word. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you that your word says it is an incorruptible seed. Thank you that your word says it is literally God-breathed. Thank you that the Bible is your word to us this morning. Thank you that as we read your word, we can be assured that we are hearing from you. Thank you that it is a more sure word of prophecy. Thank you for your scriptures. So I speak out understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus for everyone listening now and listening later and listening on the podcast. Speak out understanding in Jesus' name so that those seeds cannot be stolen, that those seeds will germinate, those seeds will grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a very apt prayer this morning because we are actually going to be talking about producing fruit. It's going to be exciting. This is the last in my current series. You guys know me, I love preaching in series. I like to finish one message and then start thinking about the next one straight away. I love progressing through a series. I've been looking at a series for the last 6 or 7 weeks, I think, about the I am statements of Jesus. And a lot of commentaries talk about there being the 7 I am statements in the book of John. But you know me, a little bit different, I think there's 8. And I've spoken about 7 of them so far. I may summarise them at the end if I have time. If not, get a series. Go to murraygrace.org.uk and listen to them or watch them all on our YouTube channel. So they're all still there. Let's talk about I am the true vine. Hallelujah. Now, I've been very fortunate during this lockdown period to change some of my work practices. And I've got a really good contract working with one distillery whereby I'm teaching their operators across the internet. A bit like what I'm doing here. We have online tutorials and meetings online. And I'm helping this team to sit some of their industry exams. And what they're sitting is called the General Certificate in Distilling. Now, this is quite a wide course. And as well as looking at whiskey, they're also having to study other spirits, including brandy. And brandy is made from fermented grapes. So in order for me to teach that, I've been having to study it myself. And it's been absolutely fascinating. I've been looking into growing grapes and how grapes grow and grape plants for the last 2 weeks, which is pretty handy, seeing as I'm going to be preaching on Jesus being the true vine this morning. And I've been looking at this thing called viticulture, and that's the science and the study of growing grapes. And it's fascinating. The grape plant, the plant itself, is a very, very clever organism. It's got a huge root ball to gather up lots of water and gather up lots of nutrients, and a great thick stem coming out from the root ball called the vine. That's the main part of it's like the stem or the trunk, if we're thinking about trees, but that's called the vine. And all the branches are connected into this single vine coming from the root ball. And the branches is where the fruit grow, all coming off the strong middle stem, all coming off this vine. And it is via the vine that the branches get their water, get their minerals, get their nutrients from the soil via the root system. If they're not connected into that vine, they don't get those essential compounds, water, nutrients, minerals, and they can't produce fruit. And the plant is cared for by this person called a viticulturist, and they invest time and effort into the plants, as the plants can be very, very fruitful for a long period of time. There are some great plant varieties that can produce fruit good enough for making wine for about 100 years. So if they invest time and effort, these plants can produce masses and masses and masses of fruit. So I want you to be aware of that as we're going through this message this morning. Remember, all the way through the I Am Statement series, we've seen Jesus taking an everyday thing that people know about, like light, like doors, like shepherds, and talk about it in a way that people can understand, but use it as a picture to tell them something spiritually about himself and about themselves and about their spiritual relationship. And the people of the day, in Jesus' day, would have known all about grapes. how to grow them, how to pick them, how to get the best fruit, and how to make wine. An everyday experience that they would all know about. And contrary to what some religious people may try and teach you, when wine is spoken about in the Bible, that means wine, not unfermented grape juice. These people knew about wine and drank wine. The word used for wine example is the same word that Paul uses when he tells us not to get drunk on wine. I don't see many people getting drunk on unfermented grape juice. So we're talking about real wine here. So let's go to our scripture for this morning. That's John 15. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to 8. And I'm going to take each verse in turn. But let's just read it. Let's just read it in a one-er before we start. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, I want to take each verse in turn here. I want to teach through these passages in that way, one at a time. Because remember, context is important. We can't just teach a single verse out of context. We've got to see what comes before, we've got to see what comes after it. And some teaching I have heard, for example, from this passage, really focuses on verse 2 and doesn't appear to have verse 3. Some of the things said about verse 2, it would look as if verse 3 weren't there. So I want to look at them one at a time and see what they mean together. Verse 1, I am a true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Well, I've just spoken about a grape plant, how the vine is the central stem that takes the roots, takes the nutrients up from the ground, the water and the nutrients from the roots up into the branches and spreads out into the branches where the fruit can then develop. Without those nutrients, without that water coming up through the vine, without being connected to the vine, there is no production of fruit. And Jesus is saying he's the vine. And we'll talk about us being the branches. And he says that the Father is the husbandman. The Father is like the viticulturist, looking after the plants, taking care of the plants, putting in place things, processes and procedures that will enhance the development of fruit. So we'll see as we go through this that that's what the Father is doing to us as well. Putting in place procedures, procedures and policies, that just sounds a bit managerial. There are spiritual laws in place that if we follow, we will produce fruit. So that's what we're gonna look at. Verse 2, the misunderstood verse, says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let's finish there. Because that's what a lot of people seem to do. Let's just preach about that verse. What's this saying? Well, it's talking about the branches being in me. That's being in Jesus. It's talking about us as Christians in Jesus. So this is talking about believers. If you're in Jesus, if you are a Christian born again, this is talking about you. So remember that as we're going through this verse and trying to understand that. This is talking about believers. Remember that. So what's Jesus saying about his branches then? Well, what it seems to be saying is, if these branches are not bearing fruit, God will take them away. And if they are bearing fruit, he'll purge them in order to bear more fruit. That's literally what it's saying. That's what the English is saying. And there is lots of wrong teaching. Religious teaching and works-oriented teaching and keeping the law teaching. And just plain wrong teaching coming out of this verse. Here is what I've heard in the past, and it may be similar to what you've been taught. What I've been told is that unfruitful or ungodly, if we're unfruitful, if we're ungodly, God will remove us. He will cast us out. He will cut us off. And others that are producing a little fruit, well, he'll prune and he'll purge them. And he'll destroy ungodly things in their lives. And he'll use tragedy. He'll use sickness, poverty, to humble us, to teach us, to sort us out in order that we'll be producing fruit. You know, being harsh to be kind. Slashing and pruning off bits of us that we don't need, that's not good for us. And you better start producing fruit, amen. That's what makes you think. But my friends, that is religious nonsense, that the understanding of that verse in that way. That's not what verse 2 means. You'll see how wrong that is when you read verse 3. Okay, I get it. This looks like a harsh verse. It sounds like a harsh verse. Branches being taken away. Branches being purged. Strong words. I get that. But what on earth does it mean? Well, remember, we don't just study scripture one verse at a time. We rightly divide the word. We see what else the word says. We look at other scriptures, see what they're saying. And this verse is talking about believers. If you're in me, it's believers. Well, I know scriptures that say Jesus is always with us. That he'll be with us until the end of the age, until the end of time. That's Matthew 28:20. Kind of says to me that, well, I will always be in him and not taken away and not purged. I know scriptures that says he will never leave me nor forsake me. That's Hebrews 13:5. I read the Gospels and I've never seen Jesus putting pain, sickness or poverty on anyone, even to teach them a lesson, even to make them better people, to make them fruitful. He doesn't do that. And the word also says he is the express image of the Father. The word says, if you see me, you see the Father. The word says, Jesus says, I'm not here to do my will, but the will of the Father. I know scriptures that says only good things come from the Father above. That's James 1:17. I know all those verses. So I know God will not cut me off and cast me off, not take me away. I know he'll not use tragedy to purge me. You see, using all these other scriptures, that tells us that kind of interpretation of John 15:2 just cannot be true. So what on earth does it mean? How can we understand verse 2? Well, let's go back to talking about viticulture. The viticulturist, or the husbandman, you could say, looks after the plants. He cleans them. He looks after them and he cleans them. If the branches are trailing on the ground, if they're getting dirty, if they're in danger of being trod on, if there's animals can destroy them, he'll lift them up. He'll clean them up. He'll tie them up on a wire, raise them up into a position, clean them up so that they can be fruitful. And he will also clean the branches where the fruit is developing. He'll get rid of insects, get rid of dirt, get rid of fungus, get rid of mildew, get rid of all the creepy crawlies that can destroy the fruit. He will clean them, in other words. Now let's look at the Greek in verse 2, because that can really help us quite often. We know that sometimes a Greek word will have multiple meanings, and sometimes you have to look through these meanings and see which one fits best other scriptures, other truths. So what does taketh away mean? Well, it can be interpreted, I've got to be honest, there is one meaning, takes away, removes. I agree. But there's another meaning, because those ones don't really tally up with what I'd said previously about all the other New Covenant scriptures that I know. Another meaning is to raise up or suspend, in a sense, to pick up from the ground, to remove from the dirt and remove from danger. So not ripping it off and taking it away, but carefully and tenderly lifting it up, cleaning it, looking after it, and putting it in a better position to produce fruit. Now that sounds more like New Covenant principles to me. What about the word purgeth? That sounds harsh. Well, that comes from the root word to cleanse, simply. And if we use the picture of the grapevine, and we are the branches, even when we're on the ground or not producing fruit, we are still attached to the vine, to Jesus. And God the Father is still looking after us, potentially lifting us up, cleaning us. We are still attached, you see. And the potential for getting the water and the nutrients is there. We just need to be a wee bitty cleaner. And I'll explain that further. So how is this done? Well, let me tell you guys, it's not through tragedy, it's not through pain, it's not through sickness, it's not through poverty. As some people teach verse 2. People that preach that really should read verse 3. What does verse 3 say? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Very interesting if you look at the Greek. The Greek word for clean is that root word that leads to purge. It's the same word, or the same root, it has the same meaning. It means to clean. Purge means to clean. And verse 3 says how we are cleaned, therefore how we are purged. Now does it say through poverty, through sickness, through removing family members, through putting illness on your family, through destroying you in order to make you humble? No, no, no. It says you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The words of Jesus is what cleans us, is what purges us. Purge and clean are interchangeable in these verses. Through the word that Jesus spoke to them is how they are discipled. And how does Jesus speak to us today? Through the Bible. It is through the word of God that he speaks to us. And that, of course, is scripture. Awesome. Folks, let me tell you, yes, there could be surface dirt that is stopping us being fruitful, stopping us living in abundance. Yes, our born-again spirits are perfect. I keep telling you that. Vic, you're telling me I don't need to be cleaned. No, you don't need to be cleaned in your born-again spirit. But we all know there's things in our mind and in our flesh that are not godly, not moving us towards an abundant life. There's parts of us that are still controlled by our unrenewed minds, and they're not godly, not Zoe life. That is like the surface dirt that's on grapes. That's like the fungus and mildew on the grapes. That is like a branch trailing on the ground, being in danger of being trodden on and getting dirt and slugs and snails and all that. We all have areas in our life that need lifted up from dirt or cleansed up. And that is done through the word of God. Not pain, not tragedy, not poverty, some people teach. That is not the way God operates now through the new covenant people. It's all good. Just look, how does Jesus operate? In love, compassion and mercy and goodness, healing all people. Hallelujah. We are his children. We have his inheritance now. He will not cut us off. He will not cast us away. He will not use pain and poverty to teach us a lesson. Verse 3 is clear. Yes, we are purged. Yes, we are cleaned by the word of God through renewing our mind. That's awesome. That is a wonderful truth, and that is so freeing. It's amazing. I keep telling you about 2 Peter 1:3. It really is one of my favorite verses. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have got all things that can let us move into this Zoe life, move into a life of godliness, a life with less sin, a more clean life, a less dirty life. We can do that. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And where do we get knowledge of Jesus Christ? Through the Bible. That's the way we are trained. That's the way we are purged. That's the way we are cleaned. Not through tragedy, not through illness, not through pain, not through poverty. Awesome. The word is where we get knowledge of him. The word, in a sense, lifts us up from the dirt and cleans us from things that are stopping us living an abundant life and living a godly life. As we understand the word more, our minds are renewed and we are transformed into something more beautiful. We are metamorphosized into something cleaner, less dirty, don't like those the use of those words, but it is a useful picture if we think about the plants and branches trailing on the ground. They're dirty. They're not going to produce fruit. They need to be lifted up. They need to be cleaned. And God uses His word to do that cleansing. Amen. That's done through the word, what we have in Him and through Him. You know, guys, I tell you, we can never be cleaner in our born-again spirit. I get that, and I hope you guys do too. I'm not asking you, I'm not telling you that we should be cleansed in our born-again spirit. That's perfect, it's sealed. But we could be cleaner in what we do through this body and through this mind. And that has changed for the better through understanding of the word. And here's something a lot of us won't be too happy about either. It takes time. It takes time. There are no shortcuts. There's no such thing as microwave Christianity. No shortcuts. Told you right at the start of the service that every word is important in Scripture. And some great use of words in this passage showing us that things take time. Verse 2 talks about bearing fruit. Verse 2 then talks about bearing more fruit. And verse 5 and 8 talks about bearing much fruit. So we see no fruit being developed when we're trailing on the ground. We see a bit of fruit, but we could do with more. After we're cleansed, we bear more fruit. And then we bear much fruit. And I'll see what we need to do in order to bear much fruit as we go on. We get more potential for fruit the more we've been cleansed by the word of God. And you get much fruit by being His disciples and from abiding in Him. That's the key. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. It's all about Jesus providing everything to us. That vine providing what we need, the branches. Awesome. Abide means to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present. Continue in Jesus, dwell in Jesus in terms of being constantly and consistently in Him, drawing from Him, from His word, times with the Holy Spirit, worship, prayer, praying in tongues. Interestingly, Jesus didn't just call Himself the vine here. He called Himself the true vine. What does that say? That tells me there are untrue vines. There are other vines. You know, there are other ways that things that we can abide in, that we can be plugged into, that we can draw water and nutrients from, but not the right water, not the right nutrients. Could be the telly, it could be news, it could be other people, it could be newspapers, it could be social media, or it could be Jesus, it could be the word, it could be good teaching, it could be speaking in tongues with the Holy Spirit. This is a really good question. What vine are we drawing from this morning? Is it the true vine? Or is it another vine? Telling us that He is the true vine implies that there are untrue vines. And we need to be careful what we're drawing from and what we're plugging into. But Vic, you said it was about the word. And now you're saying it's talking about abiding in Jesus. Well, which one is it? Is it the word? Or is it abiding in Jesus? Yes. The answer is yes to both. See, they are both one and the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Amen. Can you see that? Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. We must be in Jesus. We must be in the Word. We must abide in Jesus. We must abide in the Word in order to produce fruit, to live that Zoe life, to live that life with godliness. That's what 2 Peter 1 verse 3 is telling us. It has to be the knowledge of Him, and we get that through the Word. Why? Because He is the Word. Verse 6. Another religious verse. Or another verse that some religious people seem to quite enjoy. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Ooh, that's another harsh verse. Isn't it? Another harsh verse. What's it saying? Well, I've heard it taught that if we don't abide in Jesus, we will wither and God will cast us away and we'll be cast into fire and we'll be destroyed. Now, it is true, if we unplug from Jesus, if we choose to unplug from Jesus, we can wither like this branch. We can stop producing fruit. We can have death in terms spiritually, in terms of sickness and poverty and rejection. We can suffer all those things if we're not abiding in Jesus, but it's a choice. Verse 5 says, if you abide in me. Verse 6, if you don't abide in me, that's your choice. That's my choice. That's our choice. We choose whether we produce fruit, whether we develop and produce fruit, or whether we wither. That's our choice. That's got nothing to do with God, other than he's encouraging us to choose Jesus, choose the word, choose to abide in him. But it's our choice. We choose whether we wither or not, not God. And then, where does it say God does the throwing away? Where does it say God does the gathering up and casting into the fire? I mean, this verse to me is talking about rejection. It's talking about getting into trouble. It's talking about spiritual death in terms of losing blessings and all that kind of things. But who does that to us? God? No! The verse tells us. It says men. Man, I wish religious folk would read their Bibles now and again. It's clear here. Verse 6 says, men gather up those withered branches and cast them into the fire, reject them, are horrible to them, try to destroy them. If we're not in Jesus and we're relying on our own strength, it's other men that can destroy us, other people that can destroy us, including ourselves. It's not even mentioning God. Why do we seem to love blaming him for things that's our responsibility or men's responsibility? Verse 6 is a warning. It's not a good thing. Don't unplug yourself from Jesus. Don't choose to be abiding in something else. If you're not abiding in him, yeah, you have the potential to wither and be destroyed. But that's your choice. God's not doing that to you. Let's stop making things up in Scripture that suits our religious bias. Amen? And there's a better way. There's a better choice. Verse 7 and 8. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, that's not telling us you can have whatever you want. Now, I want a 72-inch telly. I want 50 grand in my bank account. I want a Ferrari. God, give them to me. You know, he may eventually get them, but that's not what it is. It's if you're plugged into Jesus, if you're abiding in Jesus, if you know about Jesus, you know the true character of him, you know the true character of God, you know what he wants for your life, and you will want that. And that is what he gives us. It's not for us to lust after things. It's not for us to say, oh, what, to get illegal things. That's not saying that. But if we're abiding in him, we're plugging into him, we're getting the nutrients from him, we understand him, we are being renewed in our mind, we will want godly things, and that is what will come. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Talks of a better way. Instead of unplugging from Jesus, it's plug into him, abide in the word constantly and consistently, and you will bear much fruit. You will be a disciple. Disciples bear much fruit. And I've spoken about this before. There is a difference between being a believer and being a disciple. A disciple is someone willing to learn or listens to the teaching of a teacher, I think is the Greek definition. A disciple abides in his teacher, learns from his teacher. And for that is that for us, that is Jesus, that is the word of God. We need to rightly divide the word, understand the word about Jesus, then be a doer of the word as well. That will lead us into discipleship, that will lead us into bearing much fruit. Friends, this is not a difficult passage. This is not a harsh passage. This is not hard. This is not talking about God savagely cutting away unproductive branches, purging us and pruning us with tragedy and sickness and pain to make us better people, cutting off parts of us in order for the rest of our body to live and develop. That's nonsense. That's not a true understanding of this passage. We do not need to fear being purged. It simply means being cleansed by the word. That's what that word purge means. It's about abiding in Jesus, abiding in his word. They're one and the same. We do not need to fear about being taken away if we're unfruitful. That simply means being lifted up, taken away from dirt, away from danger, clean through the Word. God wanting to help us and make us to be more fruitful and more productive in our walk, abiding in Jesus, abiding in the Word, one and the same. This is a beautiful passage, my friends. A beautiful passage about every single one of us being connected to Jesus and every single one of us, therefore, being connected to each other, being part of the church. We're all part of this one huge grape tree. Individual branches plugged into Jesus Christ, the vine, the true vine. Awesome. We are all attached to the same vine. We have all the same potential for producing fruit. Same opportunity to receive the water, the nutrients, the minerals, the good things from that true vine. Same opportunity of letting God cleanse us through his word. Not cleansing our spirit, remember, but cleaning up things that are not part of Zoe life, not part of godliness, that are still in us because of our renewed mind. Easier if we see this cleansing as mind renewal. That's a good way to look at it. So what about this for a translation of verses 2 and 3? Every believer not bearing fruit can go through mind renewal. Believers bearing some fruit can bear more by the same process, that is mind renewal. Your mind is renewed and you are transformed through the word. There's a wee translation for you on verse 2 and 3. Doesn't sound harsh, does it? Sounds a wee bit like Romans 12:2 to me. And I know Romans 12:2 is not about tragedy and sickness and poverty being used to help me. I know that. We all have the same potential. We all have the same opportunity. We're all grafted into the same vine, the same big stem, the same source. What's the difference? Us. What are we abiding in? What is providing us with food and water? Is it any old vine or is it the true vine? The choice is ours, amen. Hallelujah. So there we have it. The 8 I am statements. I'm not going to summarise them today. I'm kind of looking at the time. I won't summarise them today. If you want to hear again, look on the website, look on the podcast. But what a way to finish. What a way to finish this series. I am the true vine. We can abide in Jesus, abide in his word, stay in Jesus, stay in the word, be cleansed through understanding his word, to move into Zoe life, a life of godliness, becoming fruitful, producing much fruit. And that is possible for every single one of us, my friends. By abiding in him, by abiding in his word, by understanding his word, through knowledge of him. That's what you need to move into Zoe life and godliness. The knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And we find that in the scriptures, in the Bible. What a picture attached to that true vine. That is the way to live life to the full. Amen.